I'm Coach Seb, and this is Running New Mexico. Joining me today is Mike Svem. Recently, he won the Sierra Vistas Trails Run 50K in February with a winning time of 4 hours 38 minutes. He's run the Javelina 100 in 2018 and 19 with a finishing time of 20 hours in 2018, which put him on the Western States Lottery for 2019. And he's part of Ultra Red Team. Thanks for joining me.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Is there anything I missed that you'd want to talk about?
No, I've done 200s, both Javelina 100, last 2 years. My time the first year I did it was better, which was really weird. It was really hot that year. I think I just didn't know what I was getting into, so I went pretty hard the first 40 maybe. I went a lot, took it a lot easier this year knowing what was coming. But it's definitely a different run. That last 20 miles this year, I felt a lot better, but I was a little slower this year. It was a cooler year, but it's still fun. Have no DNFs so far, knock on wood. Hopefully I keep that up. I don't have too many ultras. I just have 200s, a 50, which was also in Phoenix as a cold water rumble. Okay. Courtney DeWalter ran that race. She won. She killed everybody. She was finishing when I had like 12 miles left, and then the second place guy, he beat me by like a minute.
Wow.
So that was a good race. And then other than that, I've done the Franklin Mountain 50K. That is probably like the hardest 50K ever. Like, I would rather run the Javelina 100 than that 50K. It's just so hard and so much elevation. I do a lot of training on a treadmill, so that elevation just kills me.
Right. How did you get into running in the first place?
Always kind of been a runner when I was a kid. I always ran track and cross country in middle school and high school. Kind of took a break in college and after college, and then always just kind of ran. My wife wanted to do a marathon, so we ran a marathon together, the San Diego Rock and Roll, and then I think I did like 4 marathons in a short time then, and then kind of took another little break. I was always busy with work, and then I just kind of moved jobs, and I had a lot more free time, and I needed something for my energy, so I just started running a lot, as much as I could in the amount of time I had. And then some of my friends were signing up for that Franklin Mountain 50K, and that was my first ultra, and man, I bonked like crazy the last the last 6 miles was horrible. It was the worst. I had no idea with nutrition or anything. Like, I would run those marathons and you just have a little bit of Gatorade in the middle, and I don't know, it's just those extra 6 miles just kill you.
Right.
So yeah, I was, that whole last 6 miles I'm never running again. And then my friends that took a lot longer than me to run it at the end, one of them's like, man, I want to do a 50-mile now. And then, so of course, I went on Ultra Sign Up like the next week and signed up for a 50-miler. They never did, but I did. And then I just got lucky that was a good race, that 50-mile race. It was cool that Courtney DeWalter was there. That was after she won Moab and everything. And I came in. I ran a good race. I think I could have ran a lot faster, but did well, and that one got third overall. And then after that, I just figured, I guess I might as well try 100.
From what I've heard about the ultras, it seems like they can be pretty addicting from people I've talked to about before.
Yeah, definitely. It's kind of like they say with marathons. You hardly ever meet anybody that's only run one marathon. And my wife was definitely that. She's definitely a lot tougher runner than I am mentally. I train a lot more than her, but she ran that first marathon, and it really took a toll on her. But of course, the next year, she signed right back up for for that marathon again. But yeah, ultras, I don't know. It's fun. It's a good test of everything. Fitness, nutrition, which is definitely the hardest for me. And then just mental toughness. That's definitely the hardest part. And then now it almost makes road running more scarier. You know, at ultras, you always have a break where you can walk up a hill. Like that Sierra Vista 50K, I was in second place and I passed first place walking. You know, it kind of, trail running kind of makes you, I wouldn't want to say a lazy runner, but in a marathon, if you're trying to kill a road marathon, you're not going to be walking at all.
Right.
You know, trail runs, luckily I'm a fast walker, so yeah, it really makes getting a 16-minute mile is a lot better than a zero, you know. As long as you're moving, it makes a big difference for ultras. That's the hardest part.
And did your wife start doing ultras as well, since she got you into the marathons?
No, she hasn't been into ultras. She did, I think it was a 19-mile night run at the Javelina 100 this year. She can run. She prefers just working out, doing other stuff more than just running. But yeah, she can run if she wants to.
So stepping back a bit, you know, you said you kind of started in high school running and stuff. What was it like running in high school for you? Were you kind of just middle of the pack, or?
I grew up in Montana at a really small school in Montana. So by every other state's standards, that's a really, really small school. It's like 90 people in my high school. I was always pretty competitive. The best I ever got was second in state in the mile and 2 mile. Nothing crazy times. My best mile time was 4:39, and best 2 mile was 9:59. Nothing crazy. I was never fast enough to be that good in the mile and 2 miles. So I guess I finally got enough, found a distance where not having all the speed is the best.
Well, those aren't horrible times.
Yeah.
Yeah, sounds like the ultra running is suiting you.
Yeah.
You know, during that time after high school, running a little bit of college, why did you keep on coming back to running?
Just for exercise, and I would try to get into lifting weights because all my friends are all into lifting weights, but I just would never get strong. Like, they would just go up in gains, and I wouldn't do anything, and then I'd be a slow runner. So I'd just always come back to running because I was just naturally a good runner, and I might as well be good at something instead of pretending to lift weights, and then it makes me a bad runner and I'm bad at lifting weights. So for me, I like doing something that I was good at, and the more you run, the more you can eat. So
that's true. It's a motivation for a lot of people, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, you have linked on your social media, you've got an article that you did, an interview for Run Spirited. And you had talked about taking a time off after doing some marathons for almost 4 years. You know, I'm assuming you were still doing some running, but just not competitively. Was there a reason you took that time off from competitive running?
Not really. I was just always really busy with work. I traveled a lot, didn't have a lot of time. That was the main reason. I was just really busy with work and always traveling, and work interested me. So I wasn't that into running until I switched jobs, and I needed some kind of outlet for my energy and my interest, and I just started running. I had time to run while I was at work, and then I just kept running more and more, and then kept getting faster and faster, and decided it was time to try getting back into racing and stuff. And it's been nice, gives me something to do. I have a 4-year-old, so now he's all into running. He's been doing mile races since he was, I think before he was 3, he did his first one.
Wow.
Now he's like 4. I think his last mile race, he was under a 10-minute mile. So he does pretty well. He got second in his last race in 13 and under, and he was 4. So like a girl beat him now. I can't remember how old she was. She was quite a bit older than him. So they like take him out running, being active. And he got to come to my 50-mile race at the end. Hundreds are a little hard when you finish at 2 in the morning. I'm going to come out there in the middle of the night. But he likes when I come home with trophies from 5Ks out there for him. He likes the trophies and the medals. So,
Yeah, it's always, especially for those younger ones, having that tangible thing they can hold in their hand.
Definitely.
For some older people too, it's nice to. I like when I get that.
Definitely. Yeah, I'm more happy when they give you a pair of socks or something at the race instead of a trophy. But he definitely likes the trophies to look at. That's the best part about 5Ks. They have the best prizes, and they're the cheap races. But man, they're so hard. Running fast is hard. That's running all day. Yeah, it's kind of hard. But man, running fast is just so hard.
And I think a lot of people might disagree with you on that one.
Yeah, probably. But man, running fast, man, that's just hard.
And I can't imagine a 5K must just feel like nothing, like so over before you even start.
Yeah, but you're so tired, just so like, man. Yeah, I think the last 5K I did was in Las Cruces for the 4th of July. Yeah, I can't remember what my time was, but man, running fast is hard. I think my pace was like 5:47 or something. I got second. The guy that beat me, man, he was really fast, but man, yeah, running hard is just so. It's nice that it's over quick, but.
You know, when I was looking up some of the races you had done, the North Face Endurance Challenge in Washington came up as one of your first ones.
Yeah, it was my first trail run.
So what was that like, the humidity of D.C. coming from Montana? That had to have been pretty tough.
Yeah, well, I've lived in New Mexico like 11 years now, so I'm pretty acclimated to this hot, dry desert. Yeah, I was up there for a work trip, and I just happened to notice it. I'd never done a trail race before. I'd been running a little bit. I'm glad I didn't sign up for the 50K there because it was really hot. And yeah, I'm not a guy that runs well in the humidity. For an ultra runner, I'm kind of a big guy. I'm like 6 foot, 175. Man, yeah, it was so hot. And I knew nothing about nutrition. I couldn't believe it when I got to the aid stations. They had gummy bears and candy and all this food. You know, at marathons, they just have some Gatorade. And every once in a while, there might be a gel there. But, yeah, I couldn't believe it. And, yeah, I definitely was in shock, you know. They had some technical parts. But, yeah, it was a really cool race. You don't get to run a lot of runs down here in trees and shade cover, but the humidity was really tough and it had been raining, so it was really muddy. Yeah, that was kind of an eye-opener that trail running was fun. You know, it's right. A lot different than the roads, different crowd. But yeah, after that, I kind of saw that trail running was more of where I wanted to go. I've wanted to do a Boston qualifier. I was all signed up and ready to go. We went back to Montana for vacation. I was going to do the Missoula Montana Marathon, but traveling with little kid, someone touched something and got the stomach bug. And the night before two nights before the race, it got me. I couldn't even walk and keep up with my 3-year-old in his mile race. Yeah, I tried to get up in the morning, but my wife wouldn't let me, which was a good thing. There's no way I would have made it. I couldn't even walk. It was the worst stomach flu ever. So.
That would have given you a DNF for sure.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, I want to get back and I want to get a Boston qualifier sometime. It'd be nice to go do that race. All the like Ultra always has a big get together out there in Boston for that. So it'd be pretty fun to go and do. I just need to find the right qualifier at the right time. Hard trying to train for 100 mile and then switch it to a marathon and then. Keep changing up what you're training for.
What brought you to New Mexico?
Work. Yeah, I moved down here after college and began working in law enforcement and then been here ever since. It's a little different than Montana. I'll just say that.
You know, for those that are new to ultra running and trail runs, how would you describe them? You've described a little bit. The crowd's different. But if someone was going to get into it, like, how would you describe that?
For me, the important thing, like, for my first 100 was I just found a race that fit how I train. So the Javelina 100 is loops in the desert outside of Phoenix, on the east side of Phoenix. So you do 5 roughly 20-mile loops. So for me, there wasn't a ton of elevation gain in that, which I don't train on a lot of elevation. So I knew I couldn't do a race that had some crazy elevation going up in the mountains like that. And a point-to-point race would be a lot more fun, but the loops just work out for me. You don't need to have a big crew. You just leave your main aid stuff at the starting line, and you always come back to that. So if you need a change of shoes, you don't have to worry about drop bags and all that stuff. You can still have drop bags at that race out on the other aid stations, but you have that main starting point that you come back to every loop. You don't have to have someone coming out there to be driving around all day and being your crew for all that. So I'd say just find something that works for how you train. It's pretty hot in Phoenix, but training all summer here in New Mexico, you get used to the heat. I do a lot of sauna training. For me, it's making sure you pick a race that fits your training style.
And so I'm assuming, you know, when you do those loops, it's easier since I'm assuming, you know, your wife can't really be there if she's taking care of the kids during that time. So your crew is, like you said, a little bit smaller.
Yeah. I've been lucky, and I've had friends come out and run the last 40 with me the last 2 years. So that's been pretty fun. You know, it's almost like two races, and then that last 40, you have someone come running with you, and then you almost start over.
And how important is that crew to your ultra?
Having that pacer is nice. It makes a big difference. The crew for that race, I picked that race just because of not needing a crew and having someone follow you around all day and waste their whole day just trying to help you out.
What's your favorite thing about the ultras?
I would just say how mentally tough they are. Like you said, a 5K is, you know, anybody can go out there and do a 5K, but, you know, it takes a lot more than just fitness to run the longer ultras. There's definitely really fit people out there running that don't ever finish because, you know, the nutrition's a hard part, keeping up on that. You know, your stomach just gets tired of drinking sugary drinks all day or eating whatever you like to eat or gels. You know, that's really hard. And then in those last 20 miles of 100, it's really hard. You're just sitting there trying to convince yourself to run. You know, it almost hurts more walking, but it hurts the most going from walking to running.
Yeah.
You know, once you're running, it's not that bad, but trying to convince yourself to start running is the hardest part. So that's the most fun in ultras for me is just the mental toughness it takes. You know, you can get by with not having the most fitness or the most miles on your legs, you know.
And you talked about that mental toughness, and you know, in that article again, you talked about doing like 10-mile runs on the treadmill. You know, does that help you mentally prepare? Because I can't imagine just running that long on a treadmill.
Yeah, I'm one of those weirdos that I don't really mind the treadmill. I think the most I've ever done was 17 straight on a treadmill with staring at a brick wall right in front of my face. But I just make do with what I have, you know. If I only have a certain amount of time, or if we need to go to the gym because the gym has a daycare and my wife also wants to work out, you know, we go to the gym and go work out and run on the treadmill. But yeah, to me, I don't mind the treadmill too much. It's, yeah, I don't know. I always put it on a little elevation. It's too easy on the flat, but yeah, it's running those big mountains outside and getting up early. Those are the hard runs.
And for me, I'd much rather be out in the mountains or waking up early any day.
Yeah, I like running on the mountains too, but I don't know. It's just sometimes I gotta do what I gotta do. You know, I don't do the normal training like some guys like to. You know, the big mileage on the weekend, do really long runs, and then take, you know, easy during the week. When I'm feeling my best, I'm just trying to knock out like 5 or 6 10-mile runs a week. And then I know that probably doesn't work for everybody, but that worked for me. So that's how I do a lot of my training. I don't do a lot of specific speed training and hill training. I know I'd probably improve if I did that, but that's just, I don't know, that's just what's worked for me. So
right. Well, and you talked about having, you know, you've got your kids, you know, you're working full time. And so that's just, I'm assuming, what works around your schedule.
Yeah, definitely. I just try to, sometimes I'm running at midnight on, you know, on the treadmill, or sometimes it's at 4 a.m. Just anytime I can get in hours, which I think also helps when it comes to those longer ultras. When you're running, you're coming up on 18 hours of running and it's midnight, you know, and you're drinking a monster at mile 80 at midnight, you know.
That's that sounds rough.
Yeah, but it makes for a good story afterwards. Yeah. You know, that's what it's all about, just having a good story to tell afterwards. And I was just lucky to have a couple friends come to each of my races, so that was really fun having them to run with the last 40 miles. And, you know, and Javelina always has at least one big name out there running. Like Patrick Regan's been out there. He's an awesome ultra runner. He's won the last 3 years.
Oh, wow.
But with the loops, you do it. You do the loop one way, and then you turn around and go back the other way, so you get to pass everybody. So you're seeing everybody all day. So you're seeing him fly down the trail. So, and that's pretty fun, too, about the looped courses. I think there was almost 700 people in the 100 mile at Javelina this year. So you're passing all those people all day. Then there's 100K that also is going on the same course. So you're passing those people back and forth. And then at night they started, it was a 19 point something mile race at night too. So you're passing all those people at night. So man, it's a huge race and it's a really fun time out there at that race. You know, you're seeing people all day. You hardly go any distance without seeing people. That makes a big difference. That race too, you know.
Are the trails pretty wide for that many people going back and forth, or do you have points where you have to kind of stop and let people through?
No, it's pretty good out there. There's definitely a lot of space. You never get too bunched up out there, so yeah, you don't have to worry about getting caught behind a big train of people going up a mountain. It's pretty good.
You know, my experience with ultras is pretty limited. I did a relay ultra 50 miler back in August, and you talked about the people that are part of ultras, and it was really, you know, after a normal race, people are always talking, they're super nice, but in the middle of the ultra, I mean, I was there, I was dying, it was hot, and people were jogging past me, walking past me, whatever, and you know, hey, do you need some water? Do you need a gel? Do you need, you know, and just offering up whatever they had. And it was like kind of you were saying, just a different atmosphere.
Yeah, definitely. You'd never see that in a road marathon. You know, guys will trip and, you know, someone will help you up. And it's a fun time out there. You get to talk to a bunch of people from all over. You definitely have enough time to meet some people.
You know, you had gone into the lottery for Western States. For those that don't really know about the ultras, what's the significance of Western States?
It's definitely the most competitive 100-mile race in the U.S. right now. It's just really hard to get in because the Forest Service only allows like 360 people a year. And so you got to do a run to qualify, which it's mostly 100-mile races. There's a few 100Ks you can get in to qualify, but every year about 3,000 people qualify. So
wow,
they have that. So there's a lottery on that. Every year the top 10 runners, they automatically get entry into the run the next year. So then that's to make sure they all have all the elites in the race. And then there's some golden ticket runs all spread out in the summer. So people that get first and second in those races get the golden ticket into that race. And then people can get sponsorship tickets into that. And it originally started out as a horse race. There's actually a documentary on YouTube right now that's free going on right now on YouTube about it. So it was a horse race, and the first guy showed up to the race, and his horse was injured. And so he just decided to run the race. He was the first guy to do it, and he had to finish in under 24 hours, and he did it. And then after that, it slowly became a running race.
Wow.
The YouTube video is called Unbreakable. It's a pretty good documentary. I just watched it the other night. But But yeah, it started out as a horse race, and guy just had a lame horse and had decided he didn't want to go home. And he ran it. So,
wow, that's pretty amazing. I've heard of the documentary. I didn't know the story behind it. I just knew it was about running. So, wow.
Yeah, it's a really tough race. I think it's in California in the summer. Gets really, really hot. Just would have been fun. I think I got drawn on the wait list, so they draw 50 people on the wait list for anybody that drops out of that initial 300. And I think I finished 4 people away from getting drawn. So that was tough. It was getting hard when it was getting down to the end because, you know, it's out in California by Sacramento. So it was getting down the last few days, and I was like 4 or 5 people away. So I didn't get drawn. And then this year I qualified again. I put in for the lottery, didn't get selected. And then the race just got canceled this week. So they're rolling over everybody to the next year. So then obviously not going to have a chance to run that year either. But there's a lot of good races out there. So,
you know, as you were waiting for it, was it hard? Like, because obviously you were training, hoping to get into it. And were you keeping an eye on other races to do around the same time in case, you know, for when you didn't?
Yeah, it's hard to train for a race you might not do, you know.
Right.
If you're in Western States, your training definitely would have been a lot different. So I was right on the borderline. Like, I knew I probably wouldn't get in the year before. It ended right before my number. I knew I probably wouldn't have gotten in, but I definitely would have taken it if I had the chance. So, yeah, that was tough, but it was my first year.
So, with Western States canceling, do you foresee a lot of the other summer ultras following suit?
Yeah, it seems like pretty much all the races were getting canceled so far. So, I don't know, kind of disappointing, but it is what it is. You know, you can't be out there running races and stuff with this going on right now. So just trying to maintain a little bit of fitness. It's hard to train when there's nothing to train for, but
right.
I think everybody's in the same boat. So just trying to maintain some fitness. Hopefully this fall stuff gets back to normal and can try to do something. I'm glad I did that Sierra Vista run here in Las Cruces right before this all started and could knock a run out.
Right. And I mean, that was about a month ago, and it feels like years ago at that.
Yeah, definitely.
The world has kind of changed in that time.
Yeah, for sure.
What was that race like?
It's a deceptively hard race. You start out on the southern edge of Las Cruces, and you run along the base of the Oregon Mountains. If you look at it, you don't think it's too bad on elevation, but it's kind of an out and back race. The whole out is pretty much a slow downhill, so you're feeling good. I was running with a guy second and third that whole way. I was running with him, just trying to hold on to him the whole way on the out. And then once you come back, that means you got to come back up. And started heating up. I kind of got behind on hydration and nutrition. I'm normally pretty good, don't trip too much, but in the first mile and a half I tripped. And I fell right on my water bottle. I had a hand bottle, and ooh, I fell and I broke the valve in the hand bottle in the first mile and a half. So I had to run with my thumb 30 miles covering the top of my bottle. So I wasn't drinking enough water, and it heated up. And then by the time I got in the mid 20 miles, I'm a guy that never gets cramps. I started running down the hill, and I just started getting a little twitch in my calf. And I was like, oh, man, no way. It can't be happening right now. I got to one of the last aid stations, ate a bunch of Skittles, and then just ran as far as I could. And then I got some electrolyte tablets at the next aid station. There was only like 3 miles to go, and luckily I somehow caught up to the leader, he's a great runner. He lives in Cloudcroft, and he was also having the same issue, but I was able to catch up to him, and then I just held on long enough.
What was the trophy for that race?
Oh, a coffee cup. Definitely gets used a lot. to me, that's better than a trophy, so gets used almost every day. My kids weren't impressed. I liked it a lot.
How did you become a part of the Ultra Red Team?
It just started out, I'd kind of worn Ultra shoes on and off, and then when I was training for my first Ultra, the Franklin 50K, I'd wear Ultras one day and a different shoe the next day, and I'm the kind of guy, like, I'll run the same route every day. It doesn't bother me, and I would just notice on my watch, like, man, yesterday I was a lot faster than today. That's weird. And then, you know, it came down to the night before the race, like, oh, what shoes should I wear? Should I wear these Ultras or these other ones? And then I went with the Ultras. You know, I had no foot issues, nothing. And then ever since then, it's nothing but Ultras on my feet. And then just I saw they had the opening a couple years ago. I applied for the opening for their Red Team, and then luckily it was selected, which is pretty fun. So going on my second year now with the Ultra Red Team.
And what does it mean to be a part of the Ultra Red Team?
It's their ambassador program. They obviously give you discounts on their shoes. You get some free stuff. They have you in Ultra clothes on your races. And then you're helping them out at Ultra demo runs, at anything they sponsor. I helped them out at the Black Canyon 100K. And I'm lucky. The field rep for this area is Zach Bitter. He's the 100-mile world record holder. So when I go to Ultra demos and stuff, it's with him, you know. So you're hanging out with the world record holder, the fastest 100-miler out there. So that's pretty cool.
Well, that is pretty cool. And on your, I think, Instagram, it said you're a Run Gum ambassador as well, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Just same thing, applied for Run Gum. I think I won a box of Run Gum from some post they had, and that stuff's pretty good, you know. If you don't want a bunch of calories or coffee in your stomach, the Run Gum's pretty nice. It tastes pretty good, gives you a nice bit of caffeine.
Do you have a competition kind of on your mind if things continue and things start opening up?
No, I don't know. Javelina is always on my mind, but this year it's on Halloween. And with little kids, I don't know, have to talk to my wife, into that one. But I don't know. I definitely want to run something this fall. Air Viper Running has a ton of races in Phoenix, and they're always really good races. So hopefully I can get in something in there. I really want to try a track race sometime, you know, like a 24-hour track race, you know, running around a 400-meter track for 24 hours. I think that'd be really fun/miserable. You know, you're never farther than 400 meters from your aid station, at least. So
that's true.
I'd like to try one of those sometime. Or, you know, sometimes I get that little itch for a 200. You know, when all the triple crown of the 200s is going on in the summer, it's like, man, I really want to do that, but then I really don't want to do that. Running in the mountains in the dark when you haven't slept for 2 days, it's kind of scary, you know?
I can only imagine.
Yeah. I'm a guy that I like my sleep, so I don't know. It'd be pretty cool, though. I think one of these days I'll talk myself into it.
Hey, I can't think of the name right now, but every year there's this race, and it goes on. There's certain locations around the world, and you all start at the same time, and you just go, and there's a pace car that starts behind, and you basically are supposed to keep on going until this pace car catches you. And I forget what it's called, but that's one that, you know, the ultras intrigue me a bit, but this one is just, you're just out there running until a car catches you.
Huh, that sounds pretty interesting. I never heard of that one.
Yeah, I'll have to find it. I'll send you a link on Instagram. Okay. Or something.
They have some like virtual last man standing going on this week on Saturday. I saw on Instagram there's some runners doing that. So I guess you got to do a 4-point something, either treadmill run, or you got to start at your front door, and it needs to be live streamed on your phone, and then you got to show your watch, and you got to do that every hour until last person standing.
Wow.
So those would be pretty, one of those would be pretty fun too, but definitely really hard.
You know, obviously you're still working, but how are you practicing social distancing right now?
Other than working, you know, it's just sitting at home and taking the kids on walks out in the desert, you know, trying to, they're definitely getting good training in during the social distancing time. You know, they're starting to ask, they want people to come over, but you know, we just kind of hang out at home. Luckily we live right next to the desert. We can go walk out there. Although it's kind of time of the season for the snakes to come out. So,
right.
So mom doesn't like us out there with snakes. So guess we'll be walking around the block, but yeah, we just try to hang out at home, you know, stay active.
That sounds like things haven't changed too much for you then.
No, it's almost like, it's almost a dream not having to do anything sometimes.
You know, when you're standing on that starting line, what's going through your mind?
Just hoping not to have any stomach issues or, like, just hoping to have a good day, you know? I don't know. It's a lot different. I think I'm a lot more nervous on the start line of a 5K. You know, the 50K and up, you just kind of stand there on the start line. You know, your warm-up's the first couple miles of that race. 5K, man, I'm nervous when I'm on the line of those races, you know, trying to warm up, looking at everybody like, man, I hope I don't throw up. So, yeah, the 100 mile, it's just excitement, you know, that the one that I've done, it's a big, big race. So it's a lot of excitement. You know, it's going to be a tough day, but always going to be fun. Just hoping not to get hurt. You know, I got lucky, zero blisters, 100 miles this year.
Wow.
So, yeah, that. Taking care of your feet makes a big difference in ultras. You know, just put some squirrel's nut butter on your feet, and you'll be good to go. And some ultra shoes, definitely.
There you go. What's been your biggest disappointment or struggle with running?
Biggest disappointment would be when I got really sick when I was going to run a qualifier for Boston. You know, I've been training for a few months. And we were going back to Montana to visit family, but we went over to Missoula just to run a race. We had people come over to watch our kids because my wife was running the half marathon. And then that was a pretty big disappointment, but is what it is. And then ever since then, I just haven't put in set for a Boston qualifier marathon. But yeah, luckily I had no DNFs, like I said earlier.
Yeah.
So definitely want to keep that streak alive.
And what keeps you motivated?
I guess racing. You know, it's hard being motivated sometimes. I've been kind of lacking motivation lately. You know, haven't been getting as many miles in as I'd like to. But sometimes that almost helps. I'll have less miles, but I'll run and do the fastest that I've run on that loop before, you know. So
right,
it's definitely hard staying motivated all the time, especially right now with no races anywhere soon or anytime soon. So yeah, it's been running pretty hard for a couple years now, so I need to stay on it.
What do you think's been your biggest success so far as a runner?
I'll probably say the first year I did Javelina 100. You know, I had no idea what to expect. You know, it was twice as far as I've ever ran before. And I can't remember. I think I got 24th place that year. Just, I was hoping to be under 20 hours, but I was 20 hours and 12 seconds. I'll put all that blame on my pacer. No, it was all me. He did a great job convincing me to run. I did not want to run. But yeah, that first year in the 100, I had no idea what to expect. And I feel I did pretty good that year, you know, managing the heat. Podcasts are a great way to learn how to run ultras. There's so many podcasts now, and all the pro and elite runners, they tell you everything. You know, that's a big difference with the ultra running too, is you can follow every elite runner on Strava and see all the workouts they do every day. You know, no elite marathon runner will ever put all their information up on Strava. You know, the ultra guys will tell you everything they do, you know, they, you know, managing the heat is a big difference at Javelina. You know, you're wearing arm sleeves with ice in it and a bandana around your neck with ice in it and a hat. And, you know, you learn all that. I just learned that from listening to podcasts while I was running on the treadmill. So
that's pretty awesome. That is pretty unique to the sport, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
What are your goals for this year? You know, like you said, considering a lot of the races are up in the air right now.
Yeah, I don't know. Just keep getting better, I guess. You know, keep training. It's a hard year, but it'll end, and hopefully I'll be able to run a race this fall or something. But yeah, just trying to stay on track, keep training.
What's your favorite workout?
I'd hate to say a 10-mile treadmill run at 1.5 incline. No. A run I like to do in Las Cruces, Baylor Canyon up in the Oregon Mountains. It's 11-mile out and back over the mountains to Geary Springs Campground and back. That's a pretty fun run. It's really hard up over the mountain, but that's a fun workout. Other than that, just I have a 7.1-mile loop from my house out in the desert. I like to do that. Do that a lot.
You know, real quick before I get to the last question, I just want to throw a quick shout out to Bluebird Running Company. Mm-hmm. They're based out of Las Cruces. They're the one that gave me your name and told me to get in contact with you.
No, he's a great guy. He awesome business. So jealous of him. He gets to drive around with his trailer loaded with running goodies and, you know, go to all the races, go out to places and, you know, sell all the different products, you know, gets to watch all the races. It's definitely a great idea that he came up with. Las Cruces definitely needed it. There's no running specialty running stores or anything here. You know, you're not getting too good of running shoes at Dick's.
Right.
You know, and El Paso has a couple running stores, but yeah, it's a great idea. So jealous of him.
Yeah, I'd love to be able to do that.
Yeah.
So my last question for you is, what's your go-to song to get pumped?
Oh, man. Oof. That's the hardest one. Man, I don't even know. With little kids, I'm on, like, Frozen 2 soundtrack all the time now. So all day, I have a 2-year-old girl singing Frozen 2. That's how it gets us going, pumped in the car.
Yeah. And the kids determine things so much sometimes.
Yeah, definitely, you know. You can never go wrong with Miley Cyrus Party in the USA also, you know. I try to get them hooked on that, so we'll see how it's going. They like some pretty funny songs sometimes.
All right, well, thank you for joining me. Is there anything else you wanted to add before we go?
No, thanks for having me. Definitely, hopefully this passes so everybody can get back to running, you know, having fun, but stay home so it does pass, you know, quit having barbecue, hanging out with everybody. So, you know, it only stays worse the longer everybody keeps hanging out with everybody.
Thank you for taking the time to join me today. If you can, please rate and review, but most importantly, spread the word so we can grow this community. If you know of any runners that deserve a shout out or should be interviewed, or you just want to share your runs and connect with other people, use the hashtag RunningNM on Twitter and Instagram. You can also follow me at RunningNM on both these platforms. If you prefer to reach out by email, you can find me at runningnewmexico@gmail.com. Music was provided by Philip Friedman. You can follow him on SoundCloud under DJ Teach. And until next time, keep running, New Mexico.